ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Just driving through New York City, looking through the windows and all the apartment buildings, I remember what Prabhupada wrote when he was in Vrindavan and meditating on being here. He said, people are in their homes and they're looking out the window down the road and they're wondering, when are Nitai and Gaur going to come and save me? That's in his Vrindavani Bhajan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an open order to everyone. That order is non-different from Mahaprabhu. It's the manifestation of his internal potency. That order was to spread the Sankirtan movement. In fact, he said, everywhere you go, everyone you see, everyone you meet, give them an opportunity to learn about the process of chanting Hare Krishna and the reading Bhagavad Gita. Gain. And so that's open to everybody. And all our great acharyas, they're great because they have great compassion. For instance, Jiva Goswami writes in one of his commentaries that performing all kinds of devotional practices without including the showing of compassion to all living entities is like lighting a sacrificial fire and then the fire goes out and you pour the ghee on the ashes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jive doi Krishna nam sarva dharma sar. That the essence of all dharma is to show compassion for the living entities by widely spreading the holy names so that they can come in contact. And when one focuses on this basic principle, the very basics, which are that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, Radha and Krishna combined, that as Narottam Das Thakur says in his song Gauranga, Gaurangera Duti Para, that by serving the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, by diving into the Sankirtan movement, then one will come out on the shore of Vrindavan, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And that it's a rather simple thing. The Sankirtan movement means to organize ourselves in such a way that we can spread the Sankirtan movement, so that more and more people can come in contact with hearing about Krishna, hearing the holy names, reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, making the Bhagavatam famous, and giving people an opportunity to come in America and what to do about them. I mean, nobody could figure it out. And the energy in the room was extremely stressful, distressed. And then a session later, we decided to talk about those places that were implementing preaching principles, outreach, looking how to get people more involved in Krishna consciousness. And we started talking about that, and immediately the energy came up. And it's natural to think, when one thinks about the prospect of connecting people to Krishna consciousness, one can absorb one's whole mind in intellect, and it creates opportunity for everybody. And the whole infrastructure of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is really geared towards reaching out and bringing people in, and then once they're in, helping them to come closer. And this is a preoccupation that is good work if you can get it. And we're lucky to have that opportunity. So there's no better place than New York. New York City's been blessed by Srila Prabhupada. It's also arguably the most important city in the world. It's also a microcosm of the whole world. There's every kind of neighborhood here that we can map out and see about how to connect with the people in those particular places. And what happens in New York gets noticed all over the world. So, thinking about the prospect of New York and how to increase that mood and increase Sankirtan and managing the results of that is very exciting, don't you think?
Yes.
And managing the results means there's all kinds of ways to teach people how to come closer to Krishna. Practical ways can go into that as well. So I have a burning desire to help here in New York. We've had success in many other places by applying a few basic principles. And it's a template. It's not luck or chance, but there's definitely a template that can be followed by anywhere and that can will breed success. Should I say what's in the template? You don't mind if I'm talking a little bit directly about Sankirtan to start with, because I found that it is a way in which a principle around which to organize in any community. This basic principle of showing compassion, Jive Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sara, the way in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is the essence. It's very practical to think about a single principle like that, and then everything else joins in around that. So some of the principles that I've found work very well wherever I've gone and wherever we've implemented these kinds of ideas. One idea is teamwork, and that is all for one and one for all. Everybody working together for a common goal. For instance, in North America, 5.5 years ago, actually it was maybe 6 years ago, we came together at a GBC Temple President's meeting with an idea to unite all of North America as one team for Sankirtan, and consider that we were working as one, not in many divided teams, but one big team. Of course, there's always teams within the big team. And since we started that, among other principles, but that was like a main principle, that was the main principle, we tripled book distribution in North America. Did you know that? Were you all aware of that? The BBT was way down to about $750,000 a year, which is so low that it was very hard to keep books in print, because they printed cycles and people were always asking, why can't you print everything and have all the books? And they would say, because we don't have any money. And when we started this teamwork, working as one team, every year we've increased in North America and reached that goal together. And it's within that gap between making the goal and then rising up to reach it that our progress takes place in the Krishna consciousness movement. There has to be tension. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would mandated when his temple presidents in the Gaudiya Math would get big donations, he'd make them spend the money immediately on festivals so that they were broke. Because he wanted them to feel that tension. Like, where's it going to come from now? There's some sleepless nights, especially for those who are taking responsibility for reaching the goal. Because you might start thinking, well, how are we going to do that? Have you ever had that experience? So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, when you receive an order that's impossible to enact, but you agree to do it anyway, that's when empowerment happens. And so there's a way in which the Krishna consciousness movement, a voluntary movement, our main purpose is to go on expanding the preaching unlimitedly, Prabhupada writes in the Adi Lila. And in that, we have to set benchmarks and try to rise up and reach them. And in doing that, we gain capacity. We realize capacity that we didn't know we had before. And that's exciting because we start to see it's not coming from us. It's coming from Lord Chaitanya. I mean, how did Prabhupada... Yes, let's hear for the Bengalis. They're fired up. I met with them earlier. And, you know, how did Prabhupada do it? And similarly, he kept that goal in front of him and above his head. And he prayed to Lord Chaitanya. It's mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the greatest capitalist, the greatest spiritual capitalist. I come from Silicon Valley. There people are always looking for venture capital. They need loans to enact their ideas and make them work. But anybody who comes forward and says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given an order, I'm going to take it, that person Mahaprabhu will back. And you can risk it all. In fact, that's what's exciting in life, taking risks. That's why people gamble. Prabhupada once said, there's a replacement for all these regulatory principles. One of them is gambling. Any gamblers? So he said, the replacement for gambling is surrender to Krishna. That's a little nerve-wracking. They make a prayer. Krishna, you please do whatever you wish with me. So gambling on the Krishna consciousness movement, that's exciting. Putting your life on the line, taking some responsibility and making a goal that's beyond what you think that you can do. Of course, it has to be reasonable, but it has to be a stretch. And when we're stretching, we're growing. So this is one of the principles that Prabhupada taught, very simple principles. Create an environment in which devotees want to do service that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. It means living entities are all different, so they're interesting. They have their own modes of doing things. There has to be a way in which to empower them. Prabhupada once said, bureaucracy means it's an official system to say no to everything. But Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada's brand of Krishna consciousness was say yes to everybody who wanted a stake in the Krishna consciousness movement. And those who are leading must create facility so that people can grow into those roles and empower them. And empowerment is not such a difficult thing. It just means to believe in the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the living entities who are surrendering to him. Because if anybody surrenders to Lord Chaitanya, no matter how lowly they may be to start with, they'll be elevated by his power. That's why there are statements in the Shastra about how a blind man can see the stars in the sky, and a lame man can cross mountains because of that principle. So teamwork and setting goals. Goals, I like to say, it's like flipping a switch. When you make the goal and you ratify it, and you then immediately the energy comes in. Just like I go to various places to where I'm invited to help develop book distribution teams. And before I'll go to a certain place, I ask for a certain concessions. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to go. And one of them is that I get to meet with the temple president and the GBC, if possible, and the temple board. And that we talk about a worthy goal to increase our sankirtan. Because if that's not there, if there's not a consensus, everyone agrees that let's do this, then there's no traction. But when everyone agrees and they say, okay, we agree to this, and you can see it's a little nerve-wracking. I was recently in Alachua, which this is one of the great secrets in ISKCON. This is the most accommodating and beautiful community I've been to in Alachua, Florida. And I got to meet with the temple president, the GBC, and the board all together, and they wanted to increase their book distribution, so I said that let's set a goal together. But it has to be considerable, something that will make us lose a little sleep at night, at least for the first couple nights after we set the goal. And we sat around for about a half an hour talking about it back and forth. It's something you really have to consider because your life changes after you make a goal and then you say, I'm going to do this. You can't back down after you do that, right? Especially when it's an official situation and you're all together, right? Yeah, you have to do it. I mean, we never considered when Prabhupada told us to do things that, well, I can't do it. Rameshwar Prabhu said once, you know, Prabhupada, that's impossible. It was impossible, what Prabhupada said. He said, print all these books in 2 months. All the old Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was impossible. And Rameshwar just said, you know, it's impossible. And Prabhupada said, no, not impossible. It's a word used in a fool's dictionary. That was his mood. And when he agreed to do it, Rameshwar Prabhu told me, when he agreed to do it, he said, okay, well, I have to do this because there's no other choice. Then he said, then energy started, then intelligence, everything started coming into his mental system. And so in Alachua also, when they wrote their goal on a piece of paper, everyone signed it, slid it over on the table. Take a look at the goal. And everyone was in, and then the energy started. It's considerable. So it's a simple principle. One must take some responsibility, and collectively as a team, deciding on worthy goals and then setting goals together as a community. And all for one and one for all, everyone working together. A lot of devotees each doing a little bit. This is one of the principles that I've found is extremely important in the Krishna Conscious Movement, is to consider everybody's contribution. There's a way in which everyone just wants to be encouraged. This material world is a very discouraging place. By the way, we encourage you to turn your cell phones on and keep the ringer on, because if it goes off in the assembly when we're having a discussion, then you have to buy one of those books in the back. Okay? Raise your hand if it's not okay. All right, it's okay. I don't know how much they are, and by the way, although I wrote the book, it's not my book. I gave the copyrights to the BBT. I wrote it just to pass on the ideas. And whatever I'm saying, the ideas are in there. So, encouragement, a culture of encouragement, means that everybody needs encouragement, every living entity, because the material world is an oppressive place. Everything's pressing on me here. And my mind presses, the senses press, other people press, time presses. You ever feel pressure? Please say yes. Make me feel better. And just a conscious acknowledgement of other living entities. I know this is a hard world, just try to encourage it, but that's what the Sankirtan movement is. Even in our secret mantras, the word prachodayat means this is a way in which the Lord's trying to encourage everybody. That's why the sun rises in the morning. That's his way of encouraging everybody. Do you ever get discouraged when the sun goes down? Yeah. In fact, people just go to sleep. They give up. That's why living entities go to sleep. It's just like, forget it. I can't do it without the sun. There's no encouragement. This is what Krishna's trying to do, encourage everybody. And the Sankirtan movement really is about encouraging everybody, encouraging each other, encouraging other living entities, reaching out. The mood of encouragement. And the word encouragement has the word cœur from French. It means the heart. And people are moved in various directions. They're driven by their heart, where their hearts are. So we're meant to be the great encouragers of the world, give people encouragement. There was never more encouraging words spoken than in the Bhagavad Gita. But people are getting all kinds of other information that's not encouraging at all. So there's a way in which it's also quantifiable. Of course, quality is of utmost importance, but we have to have a goal that we can count also. And while measuring our success in Sankirtan, we also achieve all kinds of other economies and efficiencies in our personal lives, in our sadhana and so forth. The other principle that I find works everywhere is strong sadhana. I know it works for me. When I find myself discouraged or flagging in any way, the answer is always to take more shelter of sadhana, especially chanting good rounds. Like, if you chant 16, at least, really good rounds in the early morning, you're bound to feel a sense of hopefulness in your heart, because you'll see your own potential, and also you get a sense of non-attachment to things that aren't important. And chanting 16 rounds and encouraging everybody around us to chant really good rounds is a formula for success. Prabhupada said that each devotee has his or her own genius. And when you chant really good rounds, that genius naturally comes out. And that's one of the great secrets of having a successful yatra, is encouraging everybody about the potency of the holy name. And then also, regularly hearing from Srila Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. What else? Shish Upanishad, and so forth. There's a way in which I always feel that there are very difficult decisions to make throughout the day and week and month and year and lifetime. Do you ever find that? I always find the decisions are generally, they don't come with easy options. Both options often look dire to me. However, when I read, when I take time in the morning to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and hear Srila Prabhupada's purports where he's talking about the fact that you have nothing to do with this world. Like, he quotes several times in his purports, Asango Hyayam Purushaha. I was astounded when I read that. I had to read it about five times. It means, living entity, you have nothing to do with the material world. Well, what a relief that is. I mean, who else tells you that? Where else do you get such information? And sadhana is meant to be done every day. You can't skip a day. It's meant to be done every day. In fact, it's a nityam bhagavata seva. It means that it has to be done constantly. But our acharyas say, if you tell people that, then they'll give up. So they say, nityam bhagavata seva, it means at least every day, something. You have to stay close to it. So, chanting good rounds and sticking to reading Prabhupada's purports, you never come to the end of the Bhagavatam. If you make it your life's goal, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. It's back on. That's how you fix it. If you make it your life's goal to study Srimad Bhagavatam minutely, then you'll never come to the end of it. Or the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a full-time activity. And these kinds of preoccupations, taking care of these basics first, gives one the wherewithal to not only make good decisions, but also to have the vision that I spoke about in the beginning, that the world is an opportunity for giving people Krishna consciousness. And I see how transformative that is in all the various places I go, that when brand new people are introduced to the idea of a mission for giving mercy to other living entities, now they get it, they understand it, and they're excited about it. And when they're given an opportunity within a safe framework to go out and do that, they naturally become filled up with enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, including hearing and chanting. The two things go together, just like rice and dal. Anybody like rice? Where's my Bengalis? Two people like, four, five, six. All right, quinoa. Okay, so rice is a universal staple, and then there's dal, and they're both good foods, right? Say yes. You're in the Hare Krishna movement. So now, according to Jamuna's cookbook, I read her cookbook partially, Lord Krishna's Cuisine, in the section on rice, she said when you put the two together, you get 42% more nutrition. So in the same way, there's hearing and chanting. Good, right? Say good. And then there's Sankirtan, going out and giving Krishna consciousness to everybody. Good, right? When you put the two together, great. It's super sadhana. And we see that people, just tonight, we were having a meeting earlier, and some devotees were saying, when we go out, distribute, then we say, I have to read this. And when you read it, you say, I have to go out and give it to other people. And these two activities, hearing and chanting and distributing to as many people as possible and managing the results of that, is what keeps energy in the Krishna consciousness movement. It's something that has to be renewed every day. And we have to have the vision that the acharyas had, that this is something vital that has to be given to everybody. And from that energy, one can overcome all kinds of difficult situations, even intractable situations. Ever run into any of those? Intractable? Say yes. Yeah, okay. Even those can be overcome by the power of Sankirtan and hearing and chanting. So I have one book sold. How much are they? How much? $20. Okay. The Prabhu in the front row here would like to have a book. If he doesn't... If he doesn't have $20, I'll pay for him, but... Turn your cells on. You've got a few extra copies. And, okay. One case. So.
It's 8:10. We have 20 minutes.
Okay, so now we'll take some, if you will, some reflections. Anything that you heard so far that stuck in your mind, or questions. I think that's appropriate because. I'm a new kid in town. You might want to ask me something. So, any reflections from what I just said, or any questions that you have? We have an extra microphone here, I believe. And we have 20 whole minutes to have some discussion. Okay.
So all these things that you described as some of these ingredients, why are they already missing from New York for so long?
Well, I don't know if they're missing. It just needs a little more, every system in the material world tends to drift apart at some time. Krishna says, yoga nashta parantapa. I'm re-speaking the Bhagavad Gita now, he said, because people have forgotten the message. It's become distorted. And in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna tells Sri Uddhava that over time, the message always gets distorted because of the three modes of material nature. It's not so astonishing that things drift apart. It's more astonishing when they stay together. And that's the exciting prospect, is to keep them together as long as possible. I mean, you see teams all over the world. How long can they stay together? There are cycles that everyone goes through. And sometimes when you're down, it's actually helpful, because then you can regroup and come back stronger than you were before. You learn from your mistakes and you see what are the ways in which we can actually rebuild in more positive ways. It's an opportunity, really. So it's Krishna's arrangement. Yes. Mataji? Do you need a center to do Nam Sankirtan?
Or an organization or a temple to do Nam Sankirtan, or we can be in a group and do Nam Sankirtan. Or some people have problems with your address, where are you located? What are we going to do?
Oh, sure. I mean, everybody needs some center in their life. And it's important for devotees, I believe, to have some identity of the team they're working with. Of course, it's perfectly fine to go out by oneself or with one's family to propagate Krishna consciousness, but it's better done together. That's why it's called Samyak Kirtan. The more we're together, the stronger we are. And centers are as strong as the leaders that are there and the consensus of the people there. Our movement is based on love and trust and on faith. I was just thinking about that today. What is trust anyway? It's such a valuable thing, but it's really hard to, you know, you can't go to the store and buy some. It takes a long time to develop trust, and it's easy to break trust. I've seen that happen before, and then the person you trusted, you think, oh, you know, I have to build it back over time. And that's what our movement runs on, is trust. And so our centers are, what a center are to want to work with such a person, and that's a center. And so it's important for us to have a center. We're living entities. Our center is Krishna. And you'll notice that in communities all over the world, people gravitate towards centers. They want to have a leader. They want to elect somebody, or they want somebody to be appointed, and they want to see somebody, and then they want to work around a center. So that kind of center is important. And as I said before, we have to manage the results of our teaching to others. Because when you go out, you meet people. And they're interested. What are you going to do then? You got to have a center, you know, whether it's your home or whether it's, you know, some other, you know, an ISKCON temple, someplace you have to have to bring them. So yes, it's important to have a center. And you must be centered also. We must be. Do we have microphones that go back that far? Well, having had a couple of meetings with Radhanath Maharaj and Devamrita Swami and Robopad Maharaj, we talked on the phone several times, and we all had a sense of exhilaration for having each other and working together. And in the couple of conversations, can do, but it's a place to start that I feel brings people together. And Devamrita Swami is a very thoughtful, pensive person even. And he talked a lot about connecting New York to the rural communities, having that interconnection so people in the city feel that we are very serious about doing rural projects and taking care of cows and bringing healthy lifestyle and having places where people from the city can retreat on a regular basis. And And of course, Radhanath Maharaj is everything he comes in contact with tends to transform in positive ways because of the way he... The only thing you're really interested in is expanding Krishna consciousness in your own lives and all over New York City. This is a very heartfelt meeting for me to see all of you coming here like this. I mean, just with the devotees in this one room, we could conquer New York City. It's led by the Bengalis up here. I mean, there's so many leaders in here. And future leaders. That it just requires, I think, a lot of success. There are practical matters, of course, but they're just, as I was saying, there has to be trust that the leaders really care and that they're working together cooperatively. I find, especially when senior devotees come together and they have love and trust among, and publicly display it, then it enlivens all the devotees that, wow, these people like each other. They want to work together. And when people see that, they just feel like, okay, I can do anything. I can rise to the occasion. And that's an important part of the equation. And we do work together well. It's been very nice. And I'm on my way to Mayapur. That's going to be a major topic there. Maybe the major topic. As we're talking about New York. We're going to be able to discuss practical things together. Ways in which to increase. Hare Krishna. Yes. Guys, Harinam Sankirtan Mela, like in. Why we don't do the Harinam? Sankirtan Mela. Why we don't do that? You're doing that, right? Yeah, Sankirtan Mela is here. It'll just keep increasing. There are lots of ways that we can increase. Harinam's famous in New York because of Ram Roy and the Sankirtan Ashram. I mean, nobody rocks the world like them. If you want to see a Sankirtan Mela, it's been going on for almost a decade now without stopping even one day. That's something. And that can be increased. That will be increased in New York City. No doubt about it. In fact, we were just talking on the way over about bringing back the Luglus. We used to distribute millions of Luglus. Yeah, the old timers from 340 West 55th know that we used to give out tens of thousands of Luglus every week, prasadam. I remember walking down the street, police would pull over and they go, "Hey, Krishna, come over here. You give me one of them candy things, you know." We should be known as givers. Everywhere we go, preaching means giving. It means giving out. This is dadati pratigunati. It means to give gifts to the people of the world. We have the best gifts. And the more we give, then take time to meet these people. They're suffering. And we have something to offer them. Chaitanya Charanprabhu was telling how he writes these articles on Bhagavad Gita. In South India, there's one Christian preacher, and he was saying how everything that's not coming from the Bible and Jesus Christ, it's from the devil. He just had an extreme opinion about that, but he was presenting that, and he was saying, and even, you see, because the Hare Krishnas, it can answer questions. In fact, it can answer any question that you have. So this preacher was saying, and even the Hare Krishnas, even if they can answer all your questions, even that's from the devil. So, nobody can answer questions like the Hare Krishnas because we have Bhagavad Gita. That's the only book you need. If you study Bhagavad Gita every day, if you learn Bhagavad Gita, even if you learn 50 verses from the Bhagavad Gita, you can go out and change the world. It's such a powerful book. It came out items that are priorities for you in your group. And then you can make some goals based on those ideas. And as soon as you do that, you'll feel energized and you'll know which way you're going. This is just a thumbnail sketch, but it's a very simple thing to do. And there's unlimited opportunity to do it all around the world, but especially here in New York. What else? Come on, pepper me with questions or something. in the last 5 minutes, I want a volley going in here. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, I have a question. About
question.
What specifically are any improvements that can be done about Harinam Sankirtan?
Well,
can we strengthen that?
How to strengthen Harinam Sankirtan? Of course, the most important thing is it must be done purely. But then, of course, when we present to the world, the more we consider the onlooker's point of view and the ways in which they can be attracted and included, then we can increase. As an example, we've been experimenting out in Silicon Valley area, where I reside some of the time these days. And we have what we call a kirtan oasis. And then the reason we made that name is we thought of it in terms of a place where people can come and rest from the material world. So, and then we put up a light, like at night there's a light show, and we have little booths people can, it's like a Rathiatra, only you don't have to spend $150,000. You can have a little meditation booth, changing bodies and things like that. It all fits in a small van. It can be set up, and we've found huge increases from that, and from the branding of it, the way it looks when people come. They go, oh, I think we'll stop here instead of going down the street. And they stay all night, and the devotees come, and so forth. So the way to look at any of our projects is how to develop them in such a way that it opens people's hearts, imaginations, and makes them feel welcome so they can come in and be part of it. And just a little tinkering in those ways goes a long way. And there's a lot that can be done there. So that's just some cursory ideas, but there's a lot more that can be said about that. A couple more. Anybody else that hasn't asked or made a point yet?
Me.
Yes, Prabhu.
I just want to mention something that I learned from my
CH. Really nice seminar. He's such a nice devotee. I mean, it's an understatement of the year or the century. But Vrajabihari Prabhu, he was, well, in the midst of his seminar, he said, you know, there's worries about nuclear war, because I think during that weekend there was some false alarm in Hawaii and everyone thought they were going to be annihilated in 20 minutes. And so there's some worry about that sometimes. He said, but we're not worried about that. We're worried about Vaishnava Aparadha. He said, nuclear blast is nothing. And he was very serious about it because he has excellent guidance in his life. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is a culture of guidance, as Devamrita Swami likes to say. And if one has proper guidance, one is loath to make any kind of unnecessary criticisms about devotees. It's not wanted and it's very detrimental. So this is such a nice point you brought up, Prabhu. That about a safe environment. When Prabhupada said individual, spontaneous, and voluntary, there's a way in which when we create a safe environment to hear and chant, which means that Vaishnava Aparadha is not allowed. Of course, criticism of various kinds, when it's constructive, is very much needed. But it has to be brought in such a way that it can help everybody improve. And that's an art. And Krishna even talks about it in the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he talks about the austerities of speech. You have to be careful what you say because it manifests things in your life. And when you criticize devotees, it will ruin you and it ruins the environment. That if somebody's a devotee of Lord Narayan, there's some question about whether he might go back to Godhead. But if somebody's a devotee of Lord Narayan, that there's no question he'll go back to Godhead. So we've come to the end of the time, lamentably for me, because I'm really enjoying this. But I'm looking forward to being with you and going out on the street, having training sessions for book distribution, Sankirtan, looking at all the different ways that we can make improvements together, set goals for ourselves where we feel enlivened, and we can be unified in the whole New York area. As much as possible, it's one team.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.